NetSuite by Oracle brings accounting, finance, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce costs everywhere. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders debate side by side for the first time in Houston on Thursday evening. Who came out ahead in the presidential debate, and what did we learn about the Democratic divisions on health care, trade, and other issues? Welcome. I'm Paul Gigo with the Wall Street Journal, here with my colleagues Kim Strassel. Hello, Kim.
Hello, Paul.
And William McGurn. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Paul.
So I'm going to offer, maybe a provocation. I don't know if you will agree with it or not, but I thought Joe Biden had a pretty good debate on Thursday night. He was sandwiched between the two progressive challengers, the two next to him in the polls, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. And he came out of the blocks fighting on health care, which was the most interesting part of the debate in my mind, that was the health care divide. And he put them on the defensive, I thought, by saying, look, they don't, their Medicare for All plans, their government run health care plans, are too expensive. They haven't been honest about how they are proposing to pay for it. And it is going to deny private health care, private insurance, going to eliminate private insurance. And those are, Biden said, essentially bad ideas. And instead, he wrapped himself around Barack Obama's Obamacare plan and the failed public option, which Obama did support way back when, but didn't pass the Democratic Congress in 2010. And I thought Biden's short showed clear delineation on that issue. He got some support on that issue from Amy Klobuchar. And I thought it really illuminated an important division within the Democratic Party, Kim.
Oh, absolutely. This was a big moment. And I thought what was notable was, for as strong as Biden was on this, he led the pack. It was essentially Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren against the rest of the field up on the stage. So you had a number of the different candidates all making the case that there were cost issues, that there were choice issues. He was probably, because he's the front runner, got the most time to talk about this. But you had Amy Klobuchar had a great moment where she said this was a bad idea. She had read Bernie's bill and, you know, taking away health care from everybody was their choice was a bad idea. Pete Buttigieg came out and said, look, we need to trust Americans that they know what kind of health care they want. And I did not find either Warren or Sanders to have very compelling responses to this. So it was a big divide within the party and a substantive debate, one that Democratic and Americans needed to hear.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think what Joe Biden did is basically he played the extremist card that you're calling for all these pie in the sky programs without and pretending that classes taxes on the middle class are not going to go up if you put these things through. So I think he did pretty well. I think Joe Biden had a good night in that, unlike the other ones, he didn't shoot himself in the foot. I do think that if you're worried about Joe Biden's stamina, his ability to go the distance and to respond clearly, there were moments that, on the other hand, he had two of the best zingers of the night. He had the best one against Bernie when he said, you know, for a socialist, you really have a lot of faith in corporate America. And then the other one that was obviously planned, but I think very well delivered, I'm with Barack, you're with Bernie. And I thought that was another way of playing that kind of, I mean, in the Democratic Party today, Barack Obama is moderate.
And that first zinger about the corporate, Bernie's faith in corporate America related to his claim, Bernie's claim, that when you have Medicare for all, corporations will take the money they now spend on employees for health care and give it to companies and higher wages. Now, there is some evidence that if economic evidence that if companies didn't have to pay for health care, some of that money would go to to wages. So that is funny. By the way, it's especially funny to hear from Bernie Sanders essentially claim that, because he's always claiming that corporations are doing everything they possibly can to hurt workers. But in fact, most companies I know want to keep them.
Right, right. No, his argument is basically just a bad health care program is preventing them from being as generous as they could to the American worker.
Next door was Elizabeth Warren, who ostensibly is on the same platform as Bernie about this. Ostensibly, I should say, because she's not in the same place, which is important, but at least in terms of claiming Medicare for All. And she was up there right next to him claiming that one of the reasons that we have to do this is because companies are so evil and insurers can't be trusted. And so that was an interesting contrast as well, too.
It's interesting. I thought on the one of the more fascinating themes that's emerging here across the Democratic debate is the fact that Elizabeth Warren is actually a very slick, very smooth debater, in the sense that you can ask her five ways from Sunday some question. If she doesn't want to answer it, she's not going to answer it. She's going to go around it. So when it comes to George Stephanopoulos trying to pin her down on whether or not you have to raise middle-class taxes in order to finance Medicare for All, she just plowed right over that one. And I mean, you know, she was not going to answer it. Private insurance, she just ignores that too, and focuses on, well, what people care about is reducing costs. What they care about are the copays. What they care about is everything else. But of course, I even think maybe Donald Trump might be capable of bringing a debate about the elimination of private insurance.
Yeah, it's interesting for the woman whose campaign is based on, I've got a plan for this. When it gets down to the details, she's very vague about the details in that plan. I think also, I think one of her goals last night is to try to humanize herself, you know, to give more of her personal story. I will say she's impressive in this sense. She's kind of unflappable. She does that. She moves on. You don't see her having that sort of deer in the headlights look that you see a lot of the Kamala Harris, a lot of the other ones have had at different points. She does move full steam ahead. And she, though she has a lot of Bernie's kind of principles and stuff, it's not quite as harsh as it comes across with Bernie.
Well, that's an interesting point, Bill. And I wondered if what Kim thinks about this, which is, you know, we've been saying all along that Bernie and Warren are dividing the progressive vote, and I guess that's true. But I wonder if it isn't also true that Bernie, with his same platform from 2016, more or less, with his same lines from 2016, more or less, and his same mannerisms, isn't maybe making it easier for Warren to avoid getting hit with some of these attacks. I mean, Biden went first after Bernie. Klobuchar went after Bernie. Nobody really took on Elizabeth Warren too directly on Thursday.
Yeah, I agree.
Right,
go ahead, Kim.
I think that that's in part a function of the fact that he has blazed a path, as it were, on some of these issues. So he has come to be associated with them, and as a result is the natural person to target. She's at least when she talks, she claims to be in much the same space that he is. But she's so incredibly vague, too, that it makes it harder to pin her down. Look, I think it's really important to point out that one of the reasons that you can go after Bernie Sanders on his plan for Medicare for All is because, as he noted on the stage last night, he wrote the damn bill. There's a bill. You can go and read it, and it lays out exactly what he wants to do. Elizabeth Warren, the woman who has a plan for everything, does not have a plan for Medicare for All.
And well, she's endorsed Bernie's bill.
Well, she has, except for then you go back and you look at all of her appearances and the questionnaires that she's been giving. And it goes to your point, Paul. She is incredibly slippery. What she likes to say is, we need to get to a situation where the most people are covered at the lowest cost. And then she also points out frequently, there are lots of different ways to get to Medicare for All. So for instance, and she has floated some ideas in the past. She said, well, for instance, you could lower the age at which people qualify for Medicare, and you can continue to lower the age. That's not Bernie's bill. And so she's because she's been so fuzzy, it's been harder to say, well, we don't like this part of your plan. She was broadly caught up in the criticism from Biden in particular on costs and taxes and choice, but specifics not so much, because she won't give any.
We're talking about the Democratic presidential debate, and you're listening to Potomac Watch from the Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Welcome back. I'm Paul Gigot with Bill McGurn and Kim Strassel, talking about the Democratic presidential debate. And my contention, no doubt disputed by many, is that Joe Biden had a strong debate and will emerge here without too much damage, despite occasionally having stumbles. He did make a reference, much mocked on Twitter, to the fact that you have to keep your get your kids away from the record player. Now, I don't know. Kim, you may have a turntable. I gave mine up a long time ago. But I can imagine certain people of my generation and older making that kind of a reference. But it was much mocked by the left, who don't want Bernie, who don't want Biden to get the nomination. He had a couple of other slips. He tends to say the wrong word on occasion, as do we all. But of course, with Biden, it's always amplified because his opponents are always looking to see, is it a more than a verbal slip? Is he slowing down? Is it a mental slippage there? And Julian Castro actually went there, Bill,
right?
on forgetfulness.
Yeah, and he got blasted for it. I think that shows. Look, I think it's a fair question to ask of Joe Biden. Is he older? Is he up to it? It doesn't mean that the person that asks it is necessarily going to benefit from it. I think, as Julian Castro found out, other people might benefit from it. And there were some kind of sanctimonious calls from Pete Buttigieg and so forth after he had said that. Also, it hurt Castro that I'm not sure he actually got Biden, you know, on what that Biden was guilty quite of what he accused him of in the words. Biden was more ambiguous. So I don't think it was a slam dunk that way. But that is going to be the continuing question. To me, what was interesting is what wasn't discussed. They didn't really discuss the economy, per se, a little bit with trade. They didn't discuss impeachment. That will probably change because I think Tom Steyer is on the stage in the next debate. They didn't discuss abortion, something I think Kamala Harris pointed out in a tweet after. It's amazing what they didn't ask about.
Well, the moderators, Kim, seemed to be trying to really focus on a couple of big issues, and I thought the healthcare debate was a pretty good exchange. I thought a lot of the rest of them were by rote mostly. You knew what everybody agrees on immigration now, more or less. Everybody agrees, because some of the moderates are off the stage, with a lot of with on guns, for example. I mean, the difference is that Beto O'Rourke came out and said, "Yeah, we're gonna have a mandatory buyback program of AK-47s." And modified to semi-automatic status, and AR-15s, whereas Amy Klobuchar said, well, that's too far. We're going to have voluntary. I'd have a voluntary buyback. But almost all the Democrats agree on just about every other gun control measure. So you didn't get a lot of disagreement on many other things, Kim.
Yeah, and that is partly a function of the moderators, and not to turn this into a media criticism podcast, but you know, one of the reasons we had a more substantive debate on healthcare is because the moderators were pushing them some on this, saying, you know, to Elizabeth Warren, isn't indeed it a fact that you're going to have to raise taxes on the middle class to do this? And diving into questions of choice and taking away existing healthcare insurance. But on the guns issue, you know, it was just the usual sort of mainstream media. Yes, guns are terrible. And which of you will do the most to get rid of guns? And on immigration, it was there was a little bit of back and forth there because we had one moderator ask Joe Biden, for instance, if the Obama era period of deportation was something that he should essentially apologize for. He glossed over that with a bit of outrage. But unlike prior debates where there was some pushback on, you know, would you legalize people? How exactly would you do this? They were just essentially allowed to make their talking points. And that was really what the rest of the debate felt like, was just talking points, not really a debate.
Yeah, that's that strikes me as correct. I mean, you had Cory Booker, I thought, had some good moments. He's a very well-spoken fellow. He's really articulate and he's got passion. I've always liked listening to him. Pete Buttigieg is also very smooth, very articulate, and yet there's something phony about him to me. That the posturing you talked to, you mentioned, Bill, when you said, "Oh, this is what the American people hate about debates. People disagree on stage." Oh, really? They disagree in a debate?
Someone tweeted that his performance earned him the title the Democratic candidate most likely to get a CNN contract.
Well, and the yeah, that sounds right. Beto O'Rourke, he was passionate and came out very strong on guns. And I bet you he'll get some support from some quarters on the gun confiscation issue. Our friends at the New York Post want to want to ban assault rifles. But I guess let's step back a bit. Can any of these names that I just mentioned or anybody else break through what has become the big three, Sanders, Biden, Warren?
I say no.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see it now.
You do. You think this is the three man race now? Yeah.
I do. Because look, what we've seen, and it's now a pattern repeating itself since the beginning of these debates, is that these lower tier candidates will come on and someone may have a moment, right, where they get a lot of press play of a clip in the following days. Kamala Harris had her moment in the first debate when she went after Joe Biden. You know, Beto O'Rourke will probably have some people repeating his, "Hell yeah, we're going to take your AR-15 line from this week." And they might get a little tiny, tiny boost, but then they fall back down. There has been no ability for anyone to sustain it. And that's in part because all of the media and the attention and backing is behind Sanders and Warren and Biden. And I just don't see any way that dynamic changes.
I agree, except I think things can always change if someone makes a big blunder. You know, the people on top are always making blunders. I remember when Romney was running, at one point I thought Tim Pawlenty had a pretty good shot. And in one of the debates, the moderator asked him, "You've been going around complaining about the governor's healthcare thing as Romney care. You know, could you explain that?" And he didn't explain. He looked like he was cowardly to say it in front of Romney's face. So I think if he had an answer, he might have been more of a contender. And some of these people have enough money to keep them going into the early primaries. It doesn't mean they'll get any votes, but I think some of them are going to last. I mean, Pete Buttigieg has enough money, I think, to last till then and keep, you know, go for a while.
Well, but this is fascinating then, because if it is just narrowed down to those three, then, wow, the Democratic race is really coming into view. And that means that two of the three potential nominees, Sanders and Warren, would be the most, left-wing nominees in the modern era, certainly for Democrats, just given their economic program and the healthcare program and so on. I think, you know, Biden then holds down the sort of the pragmatic liberal, more pragmatic liberal wing. He's certainly no centrist. He's a solid liberal, but he's more pragmatic and he's, you know, public option versus Medicare for all. And I think the problem for the Klobuchars and the some of the others, Kamala Harris, for example, Mayor Pete, is that for them to get any traction, Biden has to implode. He has to fall dramatically. Then I think people, Democrats who are scared of Bernie and Warren, will say, oh, no, we have to get behind somebody else. And I guess the question would be at that stage, is it going to be too late if Biden does implode in, let's say he loses Iowa and New Hampshire? That would be a very tough place to then have somebody else rise in South Carolina.
Yeah. Well, and in theory, he could come back in South Carolina, right? I mean, we have seen, you know, Clinton did that. But with an implosion like that, yeah, and you're right. If it's not him, who is it? How do you get? And then you are left with Bernie and Warren. And, you know, I think some people are even making the argument that this is more of a Biden-Warren race at the moment, only because there are questions, legitimate questions, about whether or not Bernie Sanders has a ceiling out there, right? He's got a base of people who love him, but he never seems to be able to get much beyond it. So, I mean, I think it's very intriguing how this is all going to shake out. But the bigger question, I think, for Democrats is that with each one of these debates, they're also cementing themselves into some positions that just could be very difficult to sell to the general population.
Yeah, I would say the other interesting thing, Paul, the flip side of what you said, is Warren and Sanders kind of competing for the same progressive constituency, right? If one of them doesn't, it's kind of an add-on to Kim's point. If one of them doesn't get far ahead, right? If the two of them are locked around the same percentages, which is more or less how it's been, how would you persuade the other one to step down, right? Like, would you say, well, why should I step down? I have the, you know, I'm at 20% too. I think that could be a problem later on down the line, because then Biden wins by splitting the progressive opposition.
Well, that is a distinct possibility, right, that would happen. Bernie is not somebody who looks like he's going to step down. He knows this is it for him. He's got to make or break this time.
So if it's the three of them, and Biden could conceivably win with 34%, right? If,
well,
the other two get 33%.
There,
right?
Was a candidate who did that, I think. His name was Donald J. Trump, as I recall. He, you know, he just had that solid core. So if Biden becomes essentially the only alternative to Warren and to Sanders, then that could be all that moderate, you know, centrist, pragmatic vote, the Delaneys, the Bullocks, the so on, the Michael Bennett's, whatever 1-2% they have, that could all flow to Biden, and then he could get the nomination. But of course, that depends upon him running, you know, what is this 4-month or 5-month or 6-month torture chamber that is the primary campaign, with Bernie and Liz having him in the crossfire.
The other thing is, if you look at Kamala Harris, to me, she's the big surprise. Just looking at her on paper going into this big state, California, African-American woman, she just really hasn't taken off. She had some moments in the first debate.
Why? What's
I don't know.
Analysis?
The question is, she doesn't seem – I think last night she didn't quite look as genuine. A lot of her lines were kind of forced. When in the previous debate, when she was challenged, she didn't have a good answer for that either. I'm just surprised, because on a lot of other things that are important to Democrats, she checks the boxes. But she does not seem to be – I mean, the fact that we're talking about Bernie and Warren and Biden and not really about her, I think says something.
Kim, last word. Was this another good debate for Warren as she emerged here as the main challenger to Biden? I think she does.
It was, in part because she got almost a total pass during the debate, and she, just as she has been getting near total pass out there on the campaign trail, nobody seems willing to really challenge her and really be tough on her. It also helps her that I think the liberal intelligentsia is really very much behind her. You know, the New York Times crowd, etc. They like her. They feel she's younger, more energetic version of Bernie. And, you know, and by the way, she is very energetic on the stage, which is good. Although I was really struck at the same time that this is sort of a one note Lizzie, as it were. She says the same thing over and over. It sells, I think, but it's not very substantive. It's all the same line, corruption, corruption, corruption.
I think she gives Donald Trump a run for the money in a debate, if you ask me, although we're a long way away from that. But all right. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Bill. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week with more editions of Potomac Watch.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.